Ashoka's ideal has been imitated in traditional Buddhist societies as different as Thailand and Indonesia, China, Japan, very important actually, in the expansion of Buddhism into each of those cultures. And it's alive today in quite a fascinating way, in the figure of Aung San Suu Kyi, who is a politician, a political leader, a leader of a protest, a democratic protest movement in Myanmar, which is formerly known by the name of Burma. We'll discuss some of her life. She was a recipient of a Nobel Peace Prize and is a remarkable embodiment of what you might call modern, contemporary, democratic Buddhist political values. So a full description of a Buddhist society would have to include not just monks, nuns, and devotees, but all the kings, queens, donors, supporters who have oriented themselves in one way to the in one way or another to the ideal of the Buddha and supported Buddhist institutions and helped spread Buddhist values throughout the world. Now, as we move through our discussion of Buddhist teaching, we'll see that the diversity of the Buddhist tradition should come to us as no surprise, really. The Buddha himself said that everything is impermanent, all things pass away. So the evolution of the Buddhist tradition itself exemplifies this fundamental truth. It constantly changes. There's nothing that seems absolutely to be set in stone. It constantly evolves. And we ourselves will want to begin to feel the dynamism of that evolution, that process of change. The Buddha also said that nothing has any permanent identity. This is the famous Buddhist doctrine of no self. So as the Buddhist tradition has changed and adapted to new situations and needs, it sometimes seems to have changed so radically that it's hard to know anymore what makes it Buddhist. So the question for us, really, is in the face of this incredible diversity, is there any way for us to say what Buddhism actually is? What is it? What is it that we're going to study in this course of lectures? It probably, to be honest, would be difficult to answer that question in a way that would satisfy everyone who has looked to the Buddha for guidance or everyone who has thought of himself or herself as being a Buddhist. But I'm convinced that the best way for us to understand this tradition is to see it as the continuous unfolding of a set of stories. Buddhists love to tell stories, and I love to tell stories, and I suspect that's true also of many of you. So that this course will begin by telling some of the stories that gave a distinctive character to Indian civilization. It'll move on to the story of the Buddha, as that story was remembered and then transformed by generations of his followers. Then it will move on to the stories of a few of the people who have used the model of the Buddha's life to shape their own lives and to shape, in a profound way, the civilizations where they live. Finally, I hope that the story of the Buddha and the story of Buddhism will in some way become your story as well. Buddhism can be a great challenge to people who have grown up in the Western world and think that religion has to do with the worship of a single, almighty God. The Buddha didn't accept the existence of a single God who created the world. And for that matter, he did not accept the idea of a permanent self. Some people think, in fact, that Buddhism is so different from all we know as religion in the Western world that it should be called, perhaps, a philosophy of life rather than a religion. Either way, Buddhism challenges us to think in new ways, to think in new ways about the nature of the world and about the possibility of a satisfying and productive human life. I think that you will find it's well worth spending a few hours learning to look at this world through Buddhist eyes.